Well, Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Here we are on the Shabbat again, and we're going to blow the trumpet on our Sabbath. Shabbat Shalom. Very good. Amen. I'm always thinking we should blow it outside, but you never know what might happen to you if you did that. We are one of Messiah congregation, Kahacha B'Mashiach, and we're just a little piece of the Israel of God, and today's the Sabbath of God. And let's pray and ask God to bless and anoint this Sabbath. Heavenly Father, King of the universe, first we always come to you, ask you to cover us in your holy blood of any sin, any blemish, any spot, any wrinkle, anything that would separate us from a holy, living God. Bless and anoint this Shabbat, Lord and God, in Yeshua's name. Lord and God, we just thank you that we have this day that we could all be here and gather together in your name and lift you up and praise your holy name. Bless and anoint the study. Open up our eyes spiritually, our hearts, our minds. Teach us something new. Take away anything that's corrupt out of our minds, hearts, and souls. That's all we desire, Father, is the truth. Bless everyone here, strengthen them, give us wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and the fear of God. Help us all, bless everyone on the internet and anyone that would hear this message in the future on our servers. Bless and anoint this day, put a wall of fire around and about us, caution us from any evil. I thank God that you see us right now, you hear us, you're very aware of us, you know every thought in our minds and our hearts and souls. Keep us pure, keep us holy. In everything we do, say, and act, and think, Heavenly Father, be with us in your, with your Holy Spirit today in Yeshua's name. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Well, here we are on the Sabbath of God, and we're in Holanwall, Tennessee. We hear lots of people are moving here, which is unique to me. Matter of fact, I don't even know how we got here. You got to remember, I'm from Manhattan. I'm from New York, so this is a long way from here. Anyway, there's our website, you know, and there's our phone number if you need to talk to us. I'm always ready to talk to anyone. I always stop what I'm doing to talk to you, so I'm the guy that answers the phone. Well, we're in the month of August now, and of course, this is the name August comes from Augustus Caesar, that's where it comes from, in case you knew it or not. And there it is right there. And these despots, these emperors, you know, they just changed the amounts of days of the year at will. You know, one day it had 29 days, then Julius made it 31 days, and somebody else made it 30 days, and, you know, whatever. I don't know, does it have 31 days now? Okay, so it stayed like that in the Gregorian calendar, Pope Gregory. Jehovah has his own calendar. We are in the fifth month of God, the second day. And this month has no name again. There's 2 months that have no name, for I don't know the reason why. But Judaism calls it Av, and you cannot verify that by scripture, okay? That is totally made up. So we're in the fifth month of God. And we're keeping track of the months because, obviously, the fall holy days and feasts are coming, which that's how we keep track of everything. And we look for that little sliver in the sky, which tells us there's a new moon. My ministry is a teaching ministry. I've been doing this for many years now. I like bringing up subjects and topics maybe not familiar with, maybe you never heard of them, or I like to undelete some for you. There's the websites. They're working today. You could read them. You could listen to them. You could watch them. You could download them to your MP3 players. If I talk too fast, I don't think I drank enough coffee, so I probably won't be talking too fast. But anyway, if I do talk too fast, you can always go to my server and, you know, read it at your own speed and listen to it and pause it and whatever. I'm streaming live right now at that URL. If you have Real Player, you can see me right now. There's the camera. Of course, I haven't received any invitations to participate in anyone's congregations lately. I'm always wondering the congregation we visited here in Holanwall, we never heard from them again. We went over and befriended them. Everything went great. That's what I never could understand. When everything goes perfect, you know, it seems like everything goes nice. Everyone loves everything. And you never hear them again. Anyway, we might hear them again. We read from the Law and the Prophets every Shabbat. And just like Yeshua did and all the people in the Bible. And you guys know what Tanakh means by now, right? It's an acronym, right? Today's topic is Satan, hell, and the lake of fire forever. And I put this as a hot topic, no pun intended.
Okay.
That was a terrible joke, but I mean, anyway. This topic does not exist any longer in most Bibles. I was looking at, checking out most websites. They eliminated hell forever. Now you sleep in the dust, or you just fizz out, or you burn out, or I don't know, or nothing happens. I don't know. Please forgive me if scripture is repeated. I may try to use some of the verses in a different way. Satan, the author of lies, you know, he's confusion. Yeshua says, and the reason why I'm bringing this up is some people don't even believe there is a Satan. Did you know that? Some people think the devil is fake. They think that's all made up in pagan land, like the pagans made it up. Because they listen to websites and listen to, you know, different people. But Yeshua said, I trust Yeshua. He told these people there, they were of their father, the devil. And the lust of their father they will do. Satan was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there's no truth in him. When Satan speaks a lie, he speaks of his own. For he, Satan, is a liar and the father of it. That's why we hate lies. Satan says there's no devil. Remember, Satan's a liar and the father of it. Satan tells people there's no Satan. There is no devil. It's all imaginary. It's a cartoon. In this study, you might end up thinking, why is this study so exceedingly long? I'm not going to read every verse to you. The reason I listed just these verses, these scriptures, is to show you that the many times the words are mentioned. I mean, it's just amazing how important they must be to Jehovah to convey to us the so many times, you know? Yep, there is an afterlife. I know there's so many TV shows that depict that type of thought, you know, afterlife and the immortals and all this kind of stuff. But there really is. It's your choice. You could decide what you want to be or where you want to be and how to get there. You have to read the word, and which is your roadmap. Make sure that you have the right roadmap, because nowadays there's hundreds of different Bible versions that confuse you. Oh, this is why the battle's so intense. Satan wants to deceive you. You know what the bottom line is? Your forever is at stake. Your eternal life is at stake. Forever. Because Satan hates that forever. Because he doesn't want to believe he's going to be there forever. So we'll look at a few words first. Eternal, everlasting, forever. I don't know. One's supposed to be forever. Evermore, not quenched. Some of these words mean exactly what they say. In the words below, I'm looking at the part of the lexicon that fits the context of what I'm talking about. A lot of the Hebrew words have varying meanings. But here's the word kedem, and it means eternal, everlasting, for the context I'm speaking about. Olam, same thing, continuance. Eternal, everlasting, perpetual, without end. Here's some Greek words. I don't know how to say them. Aionios, perpetual, eternal, forever, everlasting. These are the words that the Bible's written in. They're written in the Koine Greek and also Hebrew. So, you know, we're reading it in English. But this is what the words mean. Perpetual, eternal, without end. There's another word right there. Adios, I guess when you say adios. No, it's not that. This is adios. It means eternal, everlasting. Here's I don't know how to say that. A apparently meaning continuing duration, ever, always, ever. I mean, you know, you can't really get away from this meaning that it's forever. There's some more words. Ad, it means everlasting, perpetual, without end. You know, the same thing, over and over and over and over and over. And I took the parts that all, you know, we're talking about this, you know, the comprehension of the context of what we're reading. So you can see all these words. That's enough words to show you that they come from. Here's some of the words that are used in the English, okay? Eternal damnation, eternal judgment, eternal fire, everlasting fire, everlasting destruction, everlasting punishment, everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day, fire that never shall be quenched. The smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, especially the ones who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receives the mark of his name. The devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So, sounds like forever, doesn't it? Any misinterpretations? See, when you collect all these words and put them all together, it gives a different meaning. Look what it says right here in the Hebrew. Who among us shall dwell in the everlasting burnings? Everlasting confusion. I will bring an everlasting reproach upon you and perpetual shame which shall not be forgotten. Neither shall the fire be quenched. Everlasting contempt. Unquenchable fire. Lake of fire forever. Lake of fire burning with brimstone forever. Torment in this flame forever. And hell burning in torments. This place of torment forever. You know, I was thinking to myself, the people that don't believe there's a devil and doesn't believe there's a hell forever, they couldn't possibly believe in the scriptures. It's impossible. It's so many places. It's abundant. Yeshua says, I baptize you with water. John says, I baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that comes after me, which is Messiah, is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into his garner, and he's going to burn up the chaff, how? With unquenchable fire. It's forever. In the Gospel of Luke, it says, John answered and said, saying unto them, I indeed baptize you. Same thing, unquenchable fire. I'm not going to read all these verses to you. I want to make sure you see where it says, the chaff are always the bad people. You know that, right? Unquenchable fire. And then we read this last week about the rich man and Lazarus, right? I just wanted to emphasize, you know, this person was in hell, being in torments. Doesn't sound like it's burned out. Yeah. He's tormented in this flame. There's a flame. This is the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16. Okay? He says he is tormented. Doesn't sound like he's, you know, fizzing out to me. It's a place of torment. Now, this isn't a happy study, don't get me wrong, but I'm just trying to bring up these subjects where a lot of people think that there's only one or two times it says that. And then, of course, we have Moses and the law and the prophets to believe God. But some people will not believe, even if one rose from the dead. Beast and the false prophet and all these people, they're cast alive in a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the fire and brimstone, lake of fire with brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet, they should be tormented day and night forever and ever. Death and hell, that's why I always tell you death is a holding place, because death and hell are going to be cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. And whoever was not found written in the book of life, they were cast into the lake of fire. Wow. So if your name is not in the book of life, whatever that means, the lake of fire. Don't think I fully understand what death and hell being cast into a lake of fire forever means, because we don't know what the word forever means, because we're so used to everything coming to an end, or, you know, getting old or wearing out, or, you know. But God is in a different understanding of forever. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night. Whoever worships the beast and his image, and whosoever receives the mark of his name. And just think, most of the world's going to do that in the future. That's a future thing. Peter says, by the which also Yeshua went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which is hell. And this is the people that sometime were disobedient, the ones before the flood, when once the long-suffering God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. So all those people that got drowned, they're in this holding place called hell, a place of torment, place of punishment, because they didn't get on the ark, which was a picture of Yeshua, symbolic of the only means of salvation. Peter says, if God didn't spare the angels that sinned and cast them down to hell, right, and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, what do you think he's going to do to you? Right? Seriously. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness, it's reserved forever. Jude says, the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. So we have Jude and Peter saying the same thing. He had reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. And the people that were in Sodom and Gomorrah, just like the people that were in the time of the flood, they and cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example. Their example unto us. They're suffering the vengeance of eternal fire right now. And then they're going to be cast into a lake of fire that's beyond, it's forever. I mean, we can't even imagine that because, like, I always kid around with people and I say, I don't even like to get a suntan. Could you imagine something that's forever? Seriously. I mean, imagine if somebody just went like this, like that to you forever. Or anything, forever. We can't imagine that. That's why the devil doesn't want you to believe this, because he wants to make sin not sinful. Everyone sins, you know, come on. Sodom and Gomorrah and the people, all the people that were in Sodom and Gomorrah and all the people that were before the flood, they're in this holding place called hell. I only call it a holding place because death and hell are going to be cast into the lake of fire. I don't know how it could get worse, but who knows? I mean, it's something spiritually beyond our imaginations. Now, you may not know this, but it's a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Did you know that? People that trouble you, God might recompense tribulation on them. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Yeshua shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. How's he coming back? Is he in Jerusalem? No, he's coming back in flaming fire. What's he going to be doing? Taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. That's why the devil has all these lying scenarios. Everyone's going to be sitting in Jerusalem, just like, you know, Jesus is going to have secretaries and eating ice cream cones and, you know, all this imaginary stories. When the Messiah is coming back in flaming fire. We don't want you to believe that. These people are going to be punished with what? Everlasting. We don't even know what everlasting destruction means. something that's everlasting destruction from the presence of Yehovah and from the glory of his power. In the Gospel of Matthew, it says, "Wherefore, if thy hand offend you, cut it off and cast it from you." You know why it's better for you to enter into life halt or maimed rather than to have two hands to be cast into everlasting fire. That's the God always gives the worst case scenario. That's the worst case scenario. You might have to cut your hand off or pluck your eyes out or anything just so you end up in heaven. Because it's better that you have one eye plucked out than having two eyes to go into an everlasting fire. That's just the worst case scenario. "Then shall he say to them on the left," this is God, the ones on the right hand, is going to say, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom of heaven." I'm not even talking about being with God in the kingdom of heaven, this study. This is all about hell today and everlasting fire. Look what it says right here. The ones on the left, he's going to say, "Depart from me, you cursed." Where? Where are they going to go? Into everlasting fire. That was it was prepared for Satan, the devil, and his angels, but now you're going to be a partaker. Look what it says right there. "These shall go away into everlasting punishment." You might say, well, how could that be so severe? What can you do that's so bad that you could merit that? Well, this thing, God himself had to become a creature like us. He had to speak his word and come down here and be ripped to shreds and suffer the most horrible death and die for the sins of the world. And for you to just push that away, that is the most horrible thing you could ever imagine. I mean, because he has the antidote to save you from these scriptures. Everlasting, it says the righteous are going to go into life eternal. See, everyone's going to have eternal life. Just that some people can have everlasting fire, everlasting punishment, and some people can have everlasting happiness, whatever that means. But it's your choice. But Satan will write another Bible and say, these are all wrong. Another religion will pop up and say, "Oh, shalom," and they'll make it sound like they keep the Sabbath and the feast, and "Oh, there's no hell and there's no devil. Let's forget about these hundreds of verses." Mark says, if you blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, you have never forgiveness, but you're in danger of eternal damnation. Wow. It says, if your hand offend thee, cut it off. It's better for you to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell. Why? What's so bad about that? If it's just the grave, or it's just, Joel's pool hole or something. It says, having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm, which is your soul, dies not, and the fire is not quenched. Let's see, can we misinterpret that? Fire not quenched. Am I reading it wrong? Okay. He says, if your foot offends you, cut it off. This is the worst case scenario. It's better for you to enter into life, halt into life, than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. See, you're going to be immortal. If you're immortal, you're going to end up in this place that's when fire is not quenched. Think of immortal, fire is not quenched. You're going to be there forever. I'm not talking about this flesh is going to be there. I'm talking about immortal. That's what people have to connect those two dots. Immortal, eternal punishment. That's when eternal fire, because you're immortal. Where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. Where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. It says it 3 times there in Mark, if you don't get it. Now, if you go to 2 Kings, it says, because they have forsaken me, God says, and have burned incense unto other gods, they have that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. Second Chronicles, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, they might provoke me to anger with all their works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be poured out upon this place and shall not be quenched. Isaiah, the sinners of Zion are afraid. I bet they are. Fearfulness had surprised the hypocrites. And then he says, who among us shall dwell with the everlasting fire? Who among us shall dwell with the everlasting burnings? This is the book of Isaiah. Oh, no wonder why they talk about that in the Gospels and letters. The everlasting burnings. Remember, you're going to be immortal. Everlasting burnings. Everlasting fire. Devouring fire. Isaiah. It shall not be quenched night nor day. The smoke shall go up forever. From generation to generation it shall lie waste. None shall pass through it forever and ever. See, God knows the meaning of forever. Look what it says right here. And they shall go forth and they shall look upon. This is like the book of Mark, Gospel of Mark, I just read to you. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of men that have transgressed against me. See, no one's going to escape. Everyone's going to meet the Lord. The worm shall not die, neither shall the fire be quenched. And they shall be abhorring unto all flesh. And that's immortal flesh. Jeremiah says, therefore thus saith the Lord Jehovah, behold, my anger and my fury shall be poured upon this place and upon man and upon beasts and upon the trees of the field and upon the fruit of the ground, and it shall burn and shall not be quenched. See, everything God does is forever. Jeremiah. And you could, and the reason I'm reading these verses to you, I'm showing you the things that you have to do to end up in this place. But it shall not be, it says, but if you will not hearken unto me to hallow the Sabbath day and not to bear a burden, even entering into the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then I will kindle a fire in the gates thereof, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched. Ezekiel, say to the forest of the south, hear the word of Jehovah. Thus saith the Lord Jehovah, behold, I will kindle a fire in thee, and it shall devour every green tree in thee, and every dry tree, the flaming fire shall not be quenched. And all the faces from the south to the north shall be burnt therein. It's forever. And all flesh shall see that I, Jehovah, had kindled it. It shall not be quenched. Just think of that. There's a place that, some amazing place that God has created. Gospel of Luke says, I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. That's right. You're going to all be together. Paul tells the Thessalonians, who shall be punished? These people are going to be punished. How? With everlasting destruction from the presence of Jehovah and from the glory of his power. Some people don't believe there's a devil or a Satan anymore. Well, Satan stood up against Israel to provoke David to number Israel. Is that a fake scripture? 1 Chronicles 21:1? Satan stood up. I thought there was no Satan. I'm just going to show you all the verses in Job that mention the word Satan, because Job had a meeting with Satan there. Let's see, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 11 times he uses the word Satan. I bet Job knew there was a Satan. How come David says, set thou a wicked man over him and let Satan stand at his right hand, if there's no such thing? Zechariah says, and he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of Yehovah, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Satan is always going to try to resist you. Satan's going to try to stop you, discourage you, make you doubt, make you, make you everything. Anything that's negative, he's going to have you do it. Make you hate each other, make you argue with each other, make you fight each other, make you try to separate each other, make you try to divide each other, make you try to, I'm trying to think of all the words I could think of. Satan tries to do everything to stop you. It says, Jehovah said unto Satan, if there's no devil, why is God Almighty talking to Satan? Jehovah rebuked you, Satan. Even Jehovah that had chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Amen. How could there be no Satan? If there's no Satan, God talking to, God doesn't know what he's doing. How about Yeshua said to Satan, get thee hence, Satan. Really? For it's written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Yeshua said, if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall his kingdom stand? If there's no Satan, why would there be these stories about him? And he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Yeshua was rebuking the devil because he had got in Peter there for a second. He said, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me. For thou savest not the things that be of God, but be of men. Mark says, Yeshua was in the wilderness, tempted of who? Satan. And was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. So this spiritual being is everywhere too, trying to discourage and, just trying to stop you. I just read this to you. Satan can't rise up against himself lest he come has an end. Look at this. When the word is sown, these are the ones by the wayside. This is sort of scary. By the wayside? Yeah. Remember the sower that went to sow? When they had heard, Satan comes immediately. And he can go, takes the word right out of your heart. Wow. It's not, there's no, yeah, it's hard. No root. See, the Lord's not afraid to rebuke the devil when he sees it through people. Right there again in Peter. There's the Lord rebuking the devil. Look what Yeshua said. If there's no devil, he said, Yeshua said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. If there's no devil, how could that be? Look at this. Satan has the power to bind you. He bound this lady 18 years. He could actually cause you to have a sickness or a disease. Isn't that amazing? Satan could enter into you, which is scary. He entered into Judas. There's no Satan. How could that happen? You've probably seen people possessed with the devil before, have you? I have. Look at it. If there's no devil, why is the Lord saying this to Peter? Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Whoa. Satan entered into Judas. Yeshua says, whatever you do, do quickly. How about the husband and wife team? Peter said to Ananias, why had Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Remember Ananias and Sapphira? They kept back part of the price of the land. They said they were giving it all to God, but they were hiding some. They could have just kept some and gave and tithed some, but they lied. They said they gave it all. That's ridiculous. That's an unnecessary dooming yourself kind of situation. Paul, Shaul says, he was sent to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. How come all these people in the Bible know about Satan and people today don't? That they might have received forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in Yeshua. Paul tells the Romans, he says, the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Amen. The grace of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah be with you all. Amen. Paul tells the Corinthians, he wants to deliver such as one unto Satan, these people that were evil. He wants to kick them out of the congregation, deliver them unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord Yeshua, if that's possible, if they repent. It says, if you're married, defraud ye not one the other, except it would be with consent for a time, that Satan, that you may give yourself to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. And you can go look that up if you don't know what that means. Okay? Satan can tempt you. He is the tempter. Paul says, always beware. You know, we're not afraid of Satan, but we are conscious of him, aware of him. It says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. We're not either. We know Satan tries to keep people away from the congregation here for one reason or another. I mean, if you can go talk to them spiritually and find out, let's see, why didn't they show up? Satan stopped them. You figure from one Sabbath to the next, that's almost 7 days to Satan to try to stop you from showing up. Think of all the things that in your mind this week that you didn't want to come, didn't want to go, you didn't want to travel, you didn't want to do this, you didn't want to... Think of all the little voices you heard to stop you. Satan is the prince of the power of the air. He goes in your head and makes you think that's you thinking. That's a scary thought. I get the same thoughts, but I rebuke it. Don't think I'm like immune. I hear the same voices. Hey, don't go there. Don't go there. Don't. There's only a couple of people. Don't. That's a waste of time. This is a joke. Waste all this stuff, getting up, doing the stuff. Who cares anyway? I hear all these voices, and I have to go, the blood against you, Satan. I mean, I hear all kinds of voices, too. Don't think I'm immune. Like, I'm just like, you know, just jolly. I hear all kinds of voices, too. Huh. No marvel, Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. He just might show up as your buddy, or as your neighbor, or as your relative, or as your daughter, or your son, your uncle, your mother, your father, who knows, your grandmother. They might just talk you out of your eternal life. Look what Paul says. Lest, you know, Paul had this like infirmity, his head, bad eyesight. He said, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that were given to me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. You know, Satan might try to injure you or stop you, your body, because remember, we're just flesh. He's a supernatural being. He might try to stop you. You might get an ache in your leg or your back or your, who knows, your neck. You still got to push forth and break out of it. It says, wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. See, he's an active agent trying to stop you. He could hinder you. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. This is the anti-Mashiach. He's coming after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. It's good to name people that are evil in the Bible. Here's Hymenaeus and Alexander, who he has delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. And there are, which I already know, there's some already turned aside after Satan. There's people that used to be in our congregation. They're possessed right now. They don't even think there's a devil. That's make-believe. Look at the many references of Satan, and even in the book of Revelation, let's see, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 that uses the word Satan. I didn't even count the words serpent or devil. Okay? Let's go back to the beginning. We're all, you know, to the beginning of the, I mean the beginning of the mankind. There's the serpent right there. Is that imaginary? Who was this serpent? It was the devil. He deceived Hava, known as Eve. Yep, serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which Jehovah God had made. God actually made this covering cherub in the kingdom of heaven. Except he got puffed up in his brightness and he wanted to be God. But he was just a created being. Isn't that ridiculous? So God could end your reign of victory and make you suffer like Satan. Ugh. You shall not surely die. There's the lie. Remember, he's the father of it. You're not going to die. Come on, Eve, Chava, take a bite. Give some to your husband. Serpent beguiled him. Anyway, you know the story there, right?
Yes.
Let's go back even before that. You can even go back before that, believe it or not. Before Satan was in the Garden of Eden, somewhere in time that we don't know about, somewhere in eternity, there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought against his angel that prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. That's over. Satan is totally cast out of heaven and anything evil. And the great dragon, here's all his names so you don't get confused. He's the great dragon, was cast out. He's the serpent, the old serpent. He's called the devil and Satan. And guess what? He's going to deceive the whole world. Wow. Satan was cast onto the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So Satan's down here, and his angels were cast into that prison, everlasting chains of darkness. They're all cast out. So don't underestimate devil. He's not just the little cartoon with the jumpsuit, with the horns. Satan could stand up against Israel to provoke David. Look at all the times Satan tried to tempt the Lord. Satan comes immediately too. You ever watch that show, The Terminator, where he just keeps coming at you? Picture Satan. Relentless in your whole life, relentless, trying to stop you, discourage you, hurt you, you know, just every second flooding your mind with the wrong thoughts. Think about that. Relentless. Picture something relentless. It comes immediately. Here's a dumb man possessed with a devil. Some people probably try to give this dumb person medication, I bet.
Antipsychotics.
Yeah. What'd you say?
Antipsychotic.
Antipsychotic drugs.
Yeah.
But really, the guy was just possessed with the devil. Probably just rebuked the devil out of the person. You probably can actually do that to some people too, if God sends you. And the dumb spake, and immediately they all marveled. He didn't need any drugs. Look, there's no devils. How come these people were possessed with devils? I don't get it. I put these verses down to show that, are all these people imagining things? They were possessed with devils. There was two possessed with devils. And they can actually talk. They cried out saying, what have we to do with you, Yeshua, Son of God? Are you come to torment us before the time? Torment us. Yeshua, the loving Jesus, is going to torment somebody? I thought he was sweet Jesus. They said, are you going to come hither to torment us before the time? They know they're going to end up in a lake of fire. Tormented. The devils wanted to jump into the pigs. No wonder why the swine. That's a good place for them. There were so many people there, and so many people today possessed with devils. I'm not going to read all these to you. I just wanted to show you that the devil does possess people. Look what he says right here. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. That lady knew it. Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. He answered her not a word. Really? And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she cried after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered and said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. That means the Gentiles. He was testing her. But she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Doesn't mean in the house, means the person brings it to them. Yeshua answered and said unto him, O woman, great is your faith. Be it unto you, even as you wilt. Your daughter was made whole from that very hour. Wow. That's a powerful God, isn't it? There's Yeshua encountering the devil if he doesn't exist, right? Remember that? He was hungry. He's tempted of the devil. The devil takes him up into a holy city, shows him the pinnacle of the temple. There's no devil. Yeah. Sets him on the pinnacle of the temple. Huh. He just wants you to fall down and worship him. That's all. Wants you to fall down and worship the devil. You know, it's amazing. People that don't believe there's a devil, I wonder what all these people that are around the world and around the United States, even around every state, that worship Satan. They believe in Satan. I mean, I don't know. I guess it's amazing. I mean, you could think of a lot of different scenarios how you can't even imagine how someone how could you even imagine there's no devil? I mean, seriously. Here's what Satan wants you to do. Fall down and worship me. Right? But you have to rebuke the devil. And then the devil, if you rebuke him, the devil will leave you and go to someone else. Remember, he's relentless. He's got the whole world. He can go from one person to the next. Most of the world he's got. He don't even have to bother most of the people. He's got them. He's worried about us and people like us. Here's a person that's a lunatic. What should we do to a lunatic? What do you do to a lunatic? What? medicate that lunatic, and sore vexed. Yeshua says he rebuked the devil, and the devil departed out of him. Really? I thought there was no devil. He says the child was cured from the very hour. Anyway, so far we figured out all this everlasting fire, everlasting flames, everlasting punishment, everlasting destruction, everlasting this and that, and the devil. Did you guys, are you catching on any? Did I just bring up one verse? Is there just one verse?
No, okay. Many verses.
Satan likes to accuse us. I thought there was no devil. John says he heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Messiah. The accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Satan's accusing you constantly. Satan can even enter your congregation. Look at what it says right here. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and in the synagogues he cast out devils. And in the synagogues there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil. That's right in the synagogue, the house of study. So Satan could be right in the midst. Let us alone. With thee, Yeshua of Nazareth, are you come to destroy us? I know you're the Holy One of God. Yeshua don't even answer that. He just goes, "Shut! Hold your peace. Come out of him." And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And you got to watch out for the devil jumping into people that look like apostles, because they're false apostles, deceitful workers. They transform themselves into the apostles of Messiah. They look just like your brother and sister and the last religion you were in, my dearly beloved. No marvel, Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So it's not a big deal if Satan's ministers can be transformed into the ministers of righteousness, or they look like the ministers of righteousness. But their end shall be according to their works. They're still going to meet the Lord. Just think of all those people that have all those fake religions, and they're all getting paid, and this will be $50 for my study today each. Forget that. Satan could enter into you. That's a scary thought. Satan enters into people. That's scary, isn't it? That's why you have to guard yourself and have on the full armor of God, you know? The power of darkness. What do you think of that? There is a power of darkness. The Father had delivered us from the power of darkness and had translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Amen. Who is the image? Messiah is the image. He was the image of the invisible God, because God is invisible. The firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. So there's things right now that we can't even see that God made that are invisible. Whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Wow. All. Paul was sent to open the eyes, and we're sent right now too, to be lights of the world, to open the eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that people may receive forgiveness of sins and the inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that's in Messiah. That's what we're trying to do right now. Paul says, Finally, I need a drink. Finally, my brothers and sisters, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, not yours. Put on the whole armor of God. You're going to need it too, spiritually, that you may be able to stand against what? The wiles of the devil. Why would you have to do that if there's no devil? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but believe it or not, against principalities, against powers that you can't even see, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. You can't even see that. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wow, that's a scary sentence there. Because it's like, you know, you have to sort of see it, the invisible, somehow. You have to understand that this is circling around your mind and heart and brain every day and your being. Remember, he's relentless. You can almost like, once in a while, you can almost like go, you can almost recognize, wait a minute, you can feel he's so relentless. Because you could be minding your business and all of a sudden a crazy thought or a thing or something take, you know, he's relentless. But then once you start learning that, wait a minute, I understand that, I recognize him, and you have to rebuke it away from him because it's a spiritual thing, spiritual activity. That's pretty deep right there, spiritual wickedness in high places. The rulers of the darkness of this world. The rulers. Satan wants you to lie. Beware. Peter said to Ananias, Satan filled your heart to lie. People are, believe it or not, Yeshua was so kind, but he said to these people, you're of your father the devil. Isn't that deep? And the lust of your father you're going to do. He's a murderer. Remember that. From the beginning. And he abode not in the truth. There's no truth in him. The devil is a liar and the father of it. Remember that the thief, which is the devil, he comes not only but to steal your soul and to kill you and to destroy you. Satan will try to hinder you. Don't forget that. The great dragon. I love reading the scripture. You know why? Because he's just the old serpent. He's called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He's cast onto the earth. That's what you have to remember. You have a relentless foe down here. Only problem is you can't see him because he's spiritual. It's a spiritual thing. This says, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Aren't we the inhabitants of the earth? Woe unto you and of the sea. Why? The devil has come down upon you having great wrath. Because he knows he had just a short time. To you it might seem long. But to him it's like, it's so short. Just think, the history of mankind, I can't even put my two fingers close enough. Because eternity is beyond that. Just think of that. No matter how long mankind exists, and then there's eternity. Whew. But he knows his time is so short here to deceive you. Before the end of the world, don't be soon shaken in mind or be troubled. Don't be troubled by spirit or by word or letter from us or email from us or website nowadays that the day of Messiah is at hand. He's not. Don't let anyone deceive you by any means. The day of Messiah is not coming until you see a falling away first, which people from the true body of Messiah might fall away, and some have. And the man of sin is going to be revealed. That's what you have to worry about when that man of sin is revealed. He's going to oppose and exalt himself above all that's called God or that is worshipped. And he's going to sit in the temple of God showing himself that he's God. So obviously that can't happen today. There's no temple. Even a so-called God, you know. Anyway, the mystery of iniquity already works. This is already in play. The wicked is going to be revealed one day, whom the Lord's going to consume with the spirit of his mountain, with the brightness of his coming. Satan's going to, check this out. Even this person that's going to be on the earth in someone's lifetime in the future, even it says, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. He might be able to heal your whole family. Fall down and worship me. You have to be able to look past that, you know, that image. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. So we don't even know, I don't even know what that means. I mean, lying wonders, all power. And then, of course, you might go, well, God's going to come and rescue them. Like it says in the book of Isaiah, says God's going to choose your delusion. Right here it says, and for this cause, God's going to send them strong delusion that you should believe a lie. Then you're really doomed. Imagine if you believe a lie. You're insane. You're something else. I don't know. You just believe a lie. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Anyway, we are bound to give thanks always to God to you, brothers and sisters, beloved of the Lord, because God had from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Yeshua the Messiah. So stand fast and hold the real traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or this epistle or this study today or this website. Now, our Lord Yeshua the Messiah himself and God, even our Father, which had loved us and had given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts, establish you in every good word and work. You already know about all the people possessed with devils and unclean devils, right? I'm just going to scroll through this so you see how many people. Look at it says, you're not supposed to have any novices, people that are newly come to the faith, being teachers, lest they're being lifted up with pride, they fall into the condemnation of the devil. Everyone, once they get a little wind of the Sabbath and the feast, they want to be teachers. Look what it says right here. People that must be, that want to be deacons and bishops, they must have a good report of them that are without, lest they fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. See, he's always there. Some people might give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. A good doctrine of the devil would be, there is no devil. There is no hell. That's all make-believe. You're just going to fizz out. Just going to go and sleep in the dust. Don't worry about it. You'll never know it about it. You'll never know. That's a... You got to watch out. You could be taking the snare of the devil. Some people are taken captive by him at his will. That's how weak they are. Look what it says right here. It says, you believe that there's one God? How come the devils also believe and tremble? They fear God too. This is something you should, this is what I was saying about that relentless spirit. You have to be sober, be vigilant. You have an adversary, and he's called the devil, even whether he tells you he doesn't exist. He's like a roaring lion. Did you ever watch that on TV, roaring the animal shows? Like roaring lions coming at, going to get their prey? It's unbelievable. I watch it all the time. It's just unbelievable. They just go get their prey. The devil's a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. We're supposed to resist him steadfast in the faith. But we also know that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Our brothers and sisters are also being attacked. Like, a lot of people don't like this verse. John is very bold. Just think, you know all the sins that you might know about? If you commit sin, you're of the devil. Wow. For the devil sins from the beginning. Just think, those lovely, loving people tomorrow, they all got sin on. They're of the devil. They don't even know it. And the ministers of righteousness, are they? They're tricking all the people, deceiving all the people. Whew. Anyway, the Son of God was manifest that Yeshua might destroy the works of the devil. There are children of God, believe it or not, and there are children of the devil, whether you like it or not. Some people are just of the devil, period. I mean, you know, whether they might be sweet too. That's what's scary about it. If you don't do righteousness, you're not of God. There's that sower. You should read that parable about the sower in Matthew. It's just a scary thing. It says, if anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes the wicked one, Satan, catches away that which was sown in his heart. Could you imagine that? I hate that. Some people, they fall on stony places, and they hear the word, and they think it's good. They endure for a while with joy, but soon a little tribulation or persecution arises for the word. They are offended. They're gone. How about the ones among thorns? They hear the word, but the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. We want to be the ones that are on the good ground, don't we?
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, here's a parable I like to read to you. It's pretty interesting. This is Yeshua talking. He said, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field, but while he slept, the enemy, Satan, came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the household came and said unto him, Sir, didn't you sow good seed in the field? How come it has tares? He said unto them, An enemy had done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou go that we gather them up? He said, No. Let them both grow up. He says, Lest while you gather up the tares, you might root up the wheat with them. But let both grow up until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together. Who's going first? The tares. Who went first in the time of Noah? The wicked. And bind them in bundles to burn them, really, and gather the wheat into my barns. There's that mustard seed. Am I going to read that to you? Okay. Kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. I think I got some mustard seeds over there, actually. And when it's grown, it's the greatest among herbs and bears a tree, becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches of it. Kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. All these things spoke Yeshua unto them in the multitude of parables, and without a parable spoke he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by the prophet, saying, I'll open my mouth in parables, I'll utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Now the disciples, they really wanted to know, well, they couldn't understand, I don't know why, but they couldn't understand, they want to know the parable about the tares. Could you break that down to us? He said, declare unto the parable of the tares. Simple. The tares are the children of the wicked one. Who's that? Satan. Of the field. He said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. And the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The tares are the children of the wicked one. Satan. The enemy that sowed them is who? The devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. There's the whole end of the world right there in that one parable. Therefore, the tares, they remember, they're the children of the wicked one, Satan, are gathered and burned in the fire. So shall be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and shall that which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There's going to be wailing and gnashing of teeth, whatever that means. Then the righteous are going to shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And I really hope that you had ears to hear. So I hope you hear. Remember, Satan's a liar, the father of it. Whew. Maybe next week I'll do, we're going to be forever with God. Lord willing. Anyway, I'm going to end that right now. That's a long. That's enough, isn't it? I hope you got it. How long was that? A little over an hour. Hour and 15 minutes of hearing about the devil and Satan and forever. That's enough, huh? Well, anyway, thank you for being here today. May God bless you, be with you. May God help us and make us remember Satan is relentless. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the power that you give us to overcome every work of Satan. And we rebuke Satan in the power of the blood of the Messiah. We thank God for the victory that's in you, in Yeshua the Messiah. And may God be with you for the rest of the Sabbath and for the rest of your lives. Amen. Shabbat Shalom. And I'm going to stop the...